11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Tausch, you said something interesting. I mean, you say lots of interesting things, don't get me wrong. But you said something interesting during your Steve-O conversation as I was walking down to practice and listening along. And that was about playing hurt or playing through injury. You guys on the offensive line, you're always expected to do that, right? I mean, that is just part of the job. Marco playing without missing a game after he's torn his MCL, wearing a giant club cast on your hand. I mean, that's just what you guys do, right?
That's the goal, yep.
So quarterback is obviously a different position than what you played. But now, you know, we've got Jordan Love, who had the knee injury, came back after only missing two games. And as I thought you correctly pointed out, he had required a level of toughness to go out there against the Vikings. He didn't play well. He threw three picks, but he was out there as sooner than maybe Doc McKenzie would have even wanted him out there, right? Then he has the groin injury, comes back and plays the next week. Left that game in Jacksonville, but plays. Had the elbow at the end of the regular season finale against Chicago that they lose at Lambeau Field. Now he's got this left thumb injury. He went through practice yesterday trying to see the functionality of it. So my question is, and I've said this before and you heard me joke about, you know, how Favre was lauded for playing with a broken thumb and everybody just looked at Rodgers and thought he sucked in 2022. Playing through the same exact injury. What is the expectation for a quarterback in terms of if you're out there, you're being judged? You've told us that for years and years and years as we're in year season number 10 of the show. But is it realistic to expect from that position the same level of play, whether you're healthy or not? Because we held Rodgers to that standard. He managed to do it with a torn calf in 14. He managed to do it with a tibial plateau fracture in 18. What should we expect from Jordan Love, not just with this injury, but with the folks like Steve-O who are down on him for, you know, I think they view him as fragile.
Maybe a little bit. The deal is you're expected to help your team win. And I think you can look back at 2014 when Rodgers pulled his calf and you had to do it a different way. And whether, you know, Jordan Love last year couldn't run and extend plays like he wanted to, you have to do it a different way. But if you're going to go out there and play, you have to have everybody's belief that you can function at a high enough level, regardless of the injury, that you're going to go out and execute. So, you know, if Jordan Love plays on Thursday night, or on Sunday, on Sunday afternoon against the Detroit Lions, he's going to be expected. He needs to go out and execute and play. Now, is he going to be running? And is he going to be as maybe carefree as you normally would? You have to find out what formula works for you to go out there and get the job done. So it's tough to say and to, you know, think, well, just like Kenny Clark last year, people were down on Kenny. And you find out later that Kenny was dinged up. Let me tell you something. Nobody cares. It's the cold, hard reality. I think the players appreciate, the coaches appreciate, but you're judged based off of your productivity and how well you execute. And if you don't and can't do that, you're going to get replaced or you're going to be criticized in a big manner. So for whatever ends up happening with Jordan and how this shakes out, he's going to be judged by, does his team win the football game? And did he do what he needed to do to win? And if it's he has to do things differently and more limited, great. But there's not going to be – people can use those as excuses. Well, like last year, I think a lot of people have put some of the inconsistency and some of the turnovers on the fact that he was not healthy. Great, that's fine, but that doesn't mean anybody – like people don't feel as strongly about Jordan Love this offseason as they did last because he wasn't as consistent, and he wasn't as consistent because he had some of those injuries. But, again, nobody cares. That's the tough part about this job.
So given the criticism then that Jair Alexander received, especially last year, right, for not playing through his injuries in the estimation of –
some fans and maybe even some people that work in the building, are you damned if you do, or you're damned if you don't? Right? Because if you say, look, I'm not healthy enough to play at the level that I need to play at, then you're viewed as not willing to play through injury. And if you do play and you don't play well, then you're criticized for not playing well, despite the injury, and the injury doesn't really matter. I'm just wondering if from a player's perspective, you know, you can't be worried about the outside noise. You always say that, but you told us, like, even if you don't read it yourself, your family does, and they mention it to you, right? And so I'm not looking to hold a telethon for the poor NFL players that get criticized, whether they play through injury and don't play well or don't play through injury and sit out. But, like, it does feel like in a league where the injury rate is 100%, it really is a tough spot to try and negotiate. Am I wrong to view it that way?
It is, and I think that's why there's sometimes you end up actually doing your players a disservice by not just ruling them out or saying, hey, they're going to be out 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Because there's that – I think everybody just assumes that you can get out there and play. And if you can function at all, you go out there. But you have to understand, it's one thing to be able to function. It's another thing to be able to function and actually go out and do the job against the best in the world. And that's where things get caught up a little bit. So I thought clarity and communication was lacking in both the David Bakhtiari and Jair stories. And I don't think it helped either side. I mean, it definitely hurt the players, I think, on both sides of it. And that's why when David just came out and told us what happened, the story got kind of shut down. He went
right.
And finished, you know, he got injured and IR, and that was the end of it. So I think players, you get a little attaboy when you can fight through some things. But if you struggle and you know, or in Jair's case when it was in the Chicago game, when you only go out and play 4 or 5 snaps and you kind of leave your roster hanging, it actually ends up being more of a negative. So, yes, guys want to play. But I think you have to be very smart, and that's where that trust factor comes in from a training staff, a doc, and the player to say, yeah, I can get this done, or you know what, I don't know if I can. And there's going to be fans that criticize you if you don't go out and play. That's for sure. But you have to be – you just have to trust your body, and you have to trust you know what is best for both you and the football team, and that's why coaches sometimes have to take that decision out of the player's hands.
In your that's a great answer, by the way. Thank you. In your experience in your room specifically, though, it wasn't like Campy or Bechtel were like grading you on a curve, right? I mean, the expectation was still there for you guys, and you guys just didn't care. Like, you were just doing you, for you, the level of pride was off the charts. And the times that say you missed games or Marco missed games, like, it had to be like a limb is falling off of this stuff, because otherwise you weren't going to let your guys down, and you felt like you also probably felt like you were a far better option than the guy behind you, even if you weren't at 100%. Is that true?
Well, you have to feel that way, whether or not that's accurate. I mean, there were games I sprained my ankle in a big way on a Sunday, and then we played a Thursday game in Detroit. And I should not have played. I mean, I'm hobbling around, and I, you know, competed. I got through 3 quarters. We pulled ahead, and I basically was like, I'm good. I can't, because you fight through things. But then there's also the realization when you're out there that I'm not functioning the way I should when I'm out there playing. So, no, to answer your first question, you're not graded any differently. I think there's an understanding, like, this is unusual for Marco or for me or for someone to maybe not execute this. And they're like, well, he's on one leg. Well, we appreciate your effort, but if you're struggling and not being able to finish and do the job, you shouldn't be out there. And that's a hard thing to recognize. And that is why coaches and docs have to, again, if guys are at all close and feel like they can, they're going to go try, but trying is not good enough. When you're talking about these situations, you have to execute.
Well, Lays a course light to all the guys that play through injury, because they do deserve that respect, whether or not they're on top of their games or not. And we'll see where Jordan Love is at when he returns. Again, the surgery was happening this morning, so hopefully he's in recovery and gets the ice cream or whatever they give you, a Jell-O. But the Coors Lights will be waiting in cold form when he's back.
Well, whether you're tailgating pregame or enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or just need a moment to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue on those big, beautiful 16-ounce silver bullets. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
More from practice next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Burning. I was a key that could use a little turning. So tired that I couldn't even sleep. So many secrets I couldn't keep. I promised myself I would.
So, Savion Williams with a couple of good moments during practice here. Now, he's been in and out of the lineup. He had the off-season shoulder surgery after he got done at TCU, and he had a concussion early in camp during the theoretical non-contact portion of the program. But he's been he flashes, Tausch. I'm not going to say he's had a, you know, every time I'm here I'm seeing some sort of wow thing from him. But when you look at where they're at in terms of wide receiver, we talked with Goody a little bit about this as well, like, you know, and I asked LaFleur at the end about getting these guys on the same page without Love and without, you know, Reed still walking around in his boot here at practice. Wick still isn't practicing. Obviously, Watson is on the PUP list. Like, there is some opportunity for a group that we looked at and said, oh my gosh, they got like nine guys that seem deserving of a roster spot at wide receiver. And then they moved one to corner. They got three of them that are hurt. Suddenly now you're not quite as deep there, but this is there's opportunity here, right? I've talked about Cornelius Williams, the kid from Michigan, that you know called some of his matchups with the Badgers. Savion Williams is a third round pick. Like, how much of an opportunity, and how do you feel? We know Matthew Golden has looked the part. I've talked about it almost every day, but how do you feel if you're, because you've been there, you've been that guy that's trying not to count the reps. Well, now you're getting more reps. How are you feeling about the rest of this wide receiver group with the opportunities that are available to them?
I mean, all you can ever hope for is to get reps and chances in with Watson out and Reed out, Wicks out. I think we all kind of looked at this as, well, it's going to be really tough, right? And Bo Melton moves. You're all of a sudden going to get a ton of opportunities. So for another, even if it's just to make the practice squad, or, you know, as coaches would always tell you, you're not just recruited, you're not just being looked at by us. You have 31 other teams that you're talking about. So this is, for these guys, you always hope, and you never hope for guys to get injured, but you hope that you are able to get some cracks at showcasing your talents. And then, you know, the coaches maybe see something like, wow, there's guys that have looked at probably being 12th or 11th or 12th on the depth chart when you open camp in July 23rd, and all of a sudden a guy gets hurt, somebody gets released, somebody goes to DB, and all of a sudden now, oh, I'm running with the threes. Oh, I'm running with the twos. Oh, boy, he looks good at this. He's handling his business. Let's give him more opportunities. So do I think any of these guys are going to be opening day rep guys? No. But do I think that this opens the door for them to show that they can be on the practice squad and be hanging around when injuries come up? Absolutely. And that's all that you're hoping for as a late pick, undrafted free agent, journeyman type player, is just give me a crack at it and let me get my chance. And when you do, be ready for it. If that's the case, that's what these guys are trying to do.
So the ones are going against the ones now. Again, Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs, Malik Heath are the first three up there at wide receiver. I'm looking at from the back end with the defense, and they've got, right now with X out and with Nate Hobbs out, they've got Bullard and Evan Williams at safety. They're in the base, so it's Isaiah McDuffie. Isaiah McDuffie, Quay Walker, and Edgerrin Cooper. They've got
Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine as the outside corners. The defensive ends are Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary, and the inside guys are Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt. If that's their opening day defense, and you just insert X and you make Bullard the nickel again, how good do you feel about where this defense is on opening day? That would be without Hobbs. Hobbs would be the only preferred starter you wouldn't have.
No, I would feel fine with that. And obviously you get Hobbs back at some point to add a little depth. Again, it all sounds great on paper. I would have liked to have seen more that opening night. But again, it's preseason. I just think that this group, with a year of experience and understanding what they're doing, I'm not going to sit here and act like I was breaking this film down exclusively. I'm sure they were not showing a ton of stuff. They're going to be a lot more multiple. They're going to have a lot more options of handling their business than what we saw last year. This is because of the comfort level. But I think this defense is, you know, in a position to be much better than what it was last year. And that really stems from the development of the pass rushing and the new coach. There's a lot of reasons for that. And that's more hope than anything else. But that is what I think you look for with the second year of a defensive coordinator, that guys take another step. Jesse, you're our fantasy guru, right? You got the fantasy draft coming up.
You think I'm a guru?
Well, you took second place last year.
I did. You're studying in our league, yeah. Might say more about the rest of our league, though.
I watched some of the unsportsmanlike this morning. And ESPN's doing their big fantasy draft. They're pushing, I think they have their draft tonight with Schefter and all the ESPN personalities. And I was looking through the wide receiving core, who was going to be the top pick. You had CeeDee Lamb. You had Ja'Marr Chase. You had, a bunch of guys.
Some of the usuals.
Jake Jettis.
There is nobody from the G&G, I think, until the low 30s, maybe even 40s.
Why would there be?
And I'm thinking right now, if I had to pick one guy, I think I'm going Golden. I think I'm taking Matthew Golden as my – if I can only pick one Packer.
Wow.
And it's whatever pick that ends up being. I can only have one wide receiver. That's what I
take. Only one wide receiver. Not – like you would pick Tucker Kraft. If
Tucker Kraft would be my
Packer,
first.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying I only get to pick one wideout out of this group, this mishmash.
So
Matthew Golden's who I'm picking.
If you're talking about this through a fantasy football lens, I finished in second in our league. I did win my other league last year. That was in with Tier 1 Tyler. So I guess
Resume guy.
If you're looking at it fantasy-wise, if you take Romeo Doubs because he may be the most consistent, you might not play him much because he's probably not going to put up the same numbers as other receivers you would take earlier in the draft that'll be on your team outside of bye weeks or injuries or whatever. So Golden, I think if you're drafting Golden, you're thinking by the end of the season, he'll have so much upside and potential that he's going to be putting up better numbers than Doubs at some point. So that would be like the strategy behind that pick. Is that what you're saying, Tausch?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Jason?
Well, you are a guru. Yeah, I mean, I'm an absentee owner for our fantasy league. We let our football people, meaning you, handle that.
Are you the Russ Ball of our fantasy team?
I do all the negotiating. Or maybe I'm Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy, allegedly, jokingly, just chose Matthew Golden, even though Goody had sent in a different card.
Apparently they like green and gold.
Devontae Adams last year for you, and that he had a good year, but probably not worthy of our first pick. I'm not a fantasy guru like you are. I'll be very curious in our league, and then I'd be even more curious if, like, ESPN Chicago or ESPN West Palm or ESPN LA or New York do their own fantasy events with their fans. Because where exactly, we got a fumble. Where exactly do non-Packers fans view Packers wide receivers for this purpose? Like, where do you draft them? Like, the Packers had a pretty good passing game statistically last year.
right? I mean, they ran it more than they threw it, and it was skewed a little bit by the games that Malik Willis started, but they still, Jordan Love was productive. Right, what do you have, 28 touchdowns, 25 touchdowns? You obviously would like him to have more, and if he played 2.5, 3 more games, he probably would have. I guess my question is, how do you think the rest of the fantasy realm views what the Packers have a wide receiver? Because I feel like it's kind of like when they had like Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones at running back. He didn't really, until Aaron Jones finally put his foot down and said, I'm going to be the guy that gets 1,000 yards a season. You didn't really want to pick either one. They're both good, but they were sharing the job. And there's a huge job-sharing arrangement when everyone's healthy here, isn't there? At that
yeah,
position?
No, Josh, this is easy. Josh Jacobs is by far and away the guy you want as a Green Bay Packer right. in fantasy, and I don't think there's anybody else close. That's how
Not
I
Not even Tucker Kraft.
No, Tucker would be fine. I think Tucker – I would like to have Tucker on my team, but I think he's probably viewed as a, I don't know, 8 or 9 tight end right now. I think he could provide
and the wide receivers are like
there's
way down.
Yes, that's well, that's why I kind of brought it up because it was so low. That, and Jaden Reed was the first guy. So yeah, it tells you. And I don't do the team one anymore. I don't think we might maybe we'll rekindle it, but I would think Green Bay would be a late second, early third at best team picked. Like they would be in that 16, 17 slot from a team standpoint because. The only surefire guy you have is Josh Jacobs. Everything else is kind of a coin toss.
I know that's bad for fantasy football owners. Is that good for a football team?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
We'll find out what Jesse's got queued up for Whoa Nelly next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
All right.
It is only one play, and he did throw an interception earlier, but a absolute rope from Malik Willis to Matthew Golden on a crossing route to pick up the third down at the end of a team drill with the number ones. The number two's in there now, but Tyron Hopper was close to picking it off, but Malik Willis getting it through the tiniest of windows. Not a bad thing to do when you've been put in the position he's been today. Fewer interceptions, more throws like that would be good. Time now for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Jason, you're not on the video stream right now because you are in Green Bay as the Packers practice at training camp practice. Tausch is resituating. We see the sky. It's very overcast sky in downtown Madison this morning. Are you at like midfield now of Camp Randall? Where are you?
No, I went down to the field level because practice has ended.
Ah, okay. Well, you were in Section T earlier, which was very appropriate.
I was.
Yeah,
old tea or new tea?
we didn't hear much from you at practice today, Tausch. Any observations worth sharing with the public here on a two camp Tuesday?
No. Nope, I don't.
All right.
Whoa, Nelly.
I'll say this: it was a good day for the defense today. How's that?
Sure. Okay.
Whoa, okay. Nelly.
I'm having flashbacks to mid-June in the minicamp for some of us that were roundly criticized for not having any information from practice.
Tausch, you are not a voter in the Associated Press AP college football rankings, are you? You're not an AP
not.
Member?
No, I am not.
I have a gripe with the AP poll. They do the preseason poll. And I've been of the belief for about a decade plus now, preseason polls are dumb. We have a preseason poll out from the AP yesterday. The Ohio State Buckeyes are number 3 in the AP rankings. The Texas Longhorns are your number 1 in the preseason AP poll. If you're ranking teams who haven't played yet, then how can the number 1 team be an underdog to the number 3 team when they play each other in the first week of the season?
Oh, where do they play the game at? It's at Ohio State.
It's at Ohio State. But if you're saying they haven't done anything yet, Texas is the better team. Texas should be favored to win the game. If they're not the better team, don't rank them ahead of Ohio State. That doesn't make any sense.
It does make
sense.
Jesse,
these are individual
home field advantage matters. Jesse, home field advantage matters. And you could look at this, the preseason, it's all about projecting and talent, and Arch Manning is going to get some extra love. Ohio State doesn't know who their quarterback is. So home field advantage matters, and college football probably matters even more. That's why you have the conundrum that you're in. So I don't know what you don't understand about that. It's pretty simple.
It seems like a flawed process. If a team that is ranked ahead of another one without having played, if you've played games yet and there's something that you can say like, this is what they've done. I am of the belief, I assert, I'm going to fix the solution or present a solution to the problem.
Bowl games in the fall.
Bowl games to start the season is still a great idea, and I hope everyone gets on board with it at some point.
Never happened.
Since we're not, even though half the games are bowl games because they're neutral site games that teams agree to anyway. I assert no rankings until the first week of October. Everybody's got to put 4 games on the resume at least before we start to rank the teams. And then you can say, oh, Wisconsin, like Miami, Ohio went and played number 22 Wisconsin. And now Wisconsin beat Alabama and they're up to number 9. Like, that's a better win for Miami, Ohio. Like,
disagree.
It creates better content. Like, Wisconsin beat number 5 LSU at Lambeau Field to start the year almost a decade ago now. That LSU team fired their coach before the end of the season, and they weren't ranked, and they barely made a bowl game.
Okay, so you also would say no power rankings until week 4 of the NFL?
No, power rankings are power rankings are not a metric.
It's literally the exact same. It's the exact same.
No, the NFL doesn't.
No, it is.
No, it's not, Tosh. The NFL doesn't. The NFL doesn't value the resumes of the teams and rank them at the end of the season based on their accomplishments to create a postseason format.
They don't do this with the polls in August either. They start doing the polls in November, which is way beyond your 4 weeks. So, Jesse, here's a little something. You've been in the media for a long time. The media drives the bus with coverage, and these sports want their sport talked about 12 months a year. So you're going to say, don't give us polls. Don't give us any idea on what we should be looking at. Don't give any storylines because we don't know. Let's let them develop for four weeks. You're going to go out of business running a business that way. This is a business. And they're promoting and they're getting conversation. They're saying, can you believe Wisconsin is 12th in the Big Ten? That's where their preseason ranking. Or the Greg Gard storyline every year. I had us 10th and we're in first place. That's the stuff that people like talking about. So instead, you're going to tell me no conversation about the Big Ten. No conversation about college football until week 4.
I'm not saying that doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying no conversation, but if we really want to dive further, the AP poll is pretty obsolete at this point because there's a college football playoff committee that does its own rankings starting in late October. Like, the AP poll means as much as the WSUM student radio poll at UW-Madison. Like, we should just use those rankings.
You just said it matters, though.
It matters.
You're speaking
just
out of both sides of your mouth.
No, the college football. If the college football playoff committee wants to use their rankings at the end, they say we don't rank teams until late October to get numbers on paper. Great, I'm all for that. I think you can start it at the beginning of October. They choose to do it a little bit later. That's okay. But the AP poll, like the preseason AP poll, doesn't mean diddly. And if anyone is considering it, then it shouldn't.
So why are you mad about it then?
Yeah.
If it didn't mean anything, what are you mad about?
Can I help you with this, Jesse?
Sure.
You have to just take it for what it is
especially in current landscape of college athletics with the transfer portal. And that is, it's guesswork. Don't take it seriously. And the rankings don't really, to your point, they don't matter. They don't influence the college football playoff rankings. They don't influence, all they influence is what we talk about and motivate some teams that are feeling disrespected and put a target on the back of some teams that are perennial contenders, right? Like, look, I don't know how good Ohio State is. If they didn't have Ohio State on their jersey, let's say they were Ohio U instead and had the exact same roster and the exact same players, but because it's Ohio U, I'm not so sure that they're great, right? But because it's Ohio State, we just sort of assume, hey, it's Ohio State. They've got their war chest of NIL money. They won the national title last year. They're going to be good again this year. How good? I don't know. But remember, too, there's a ton of AP voters, and they all vote themselves. So what you're getting is a compilation. I'm guessing there were plenty of people that voted Ohio State number one. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me. I can find
yes,
it.
This feels to me like it's all fake outrage for me.
Full outrage.
If I'm being honest.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's all fake outrage. What are you really outraged about?
Yeah.
When do you and Semerow put those high school polls out? Can I hear your preseason?
Came out yesterday. The Muskego Warriors number one in the large division preseason rankings.
But you feel great about that. Interesting. How many games have they played?
Whoa, Nelly!
Oh.
Hypocrisy much?
I don't often leave a segment feeling like I lost, but I do feel like I just lost.
You didn't lose. This was bludgeon
suit.
This was Michael Spinks. This wasn't even Tyson. You didn't even get in a ring.
It was not fake outrage. I do think it's still preposterous that the number three team is favored over the number one team when they haven't played a game yet. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But
well, Jesse,
you've made your argument, and I feel like you win and I lose.
Okay. Well, I don't know why you've been in Beaver Dam. You've been in all the markets. You have to promote, and you want to have people excited about what you're doing with your sport. And you have to have that. All of a sudden, it's real sexy. You have a 2-3 matchup or a 1-3 matchup, whatever it is, coming up. That's awesome. And that's going to draw. People are going to be interested anyways, but it's even more so because of those rankings. And it doesn't hurt anybody. Well, who's it hurting?
Wisconsin. Right, they're not ranked.
No, I'm trying to tell you that helps. We're underdogs. We're nobody's underdog, but we're underdogs.
If everybody was unranked, then maybe we'd feel, we're right on par with everybody. Let's see what we do in the first four games. Alabama, we got a chance.
Jesse, if there was no poll, no preseason poll, would you feel better about the Badgers?
You wouldn't.
Would you really?
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't. It wouldn't influence your feeling about them at all.
I wouldn't feel like we were not in a club that didn't mean anything.
What does that mean?
Like, there's a club of Illinois is in the club, Indiana's in the club, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Washington.
All of whom were better than them last year. You're proving
yeah, they're all in the
club. Let me tell you something. Washington ain't in no club.
They're in the club.
Okay, whatever club they're in, we want to be in a better club. I'm going to tell you that right now. So don't put Washington in that club. That's one of those.
The UW club.
It's one of those 12-5 clubs, not the 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. club. You're in that's the old blue hair club, Washington.
All right, that's all.
How'd that go for you?
Not my best, Walt Nelly. I'd say
that's not how you envisioned it going. I'm gonna
saving
guess.
My good stuff for Jim, Matt, and Molly this afternoon from 4 to 6 is 2-a-days for old Jesse. Continue.
Why don't you let Tier One Tyler write up your Walt Nellies for tomorrow too?
Oh boy,
That was not your best. Tier One Tyler, I know you're listening. Give him some options so that he doesn't get bludgeoned again tomorrow.
I think we need to give Jesse a chance to rebound. It's important to get back up on the horse. Let's
how you react.
If it goes poorly. Yeah. Yeah, if it goes poorly tomorrow, we'll have somebody else handle it on Thursday. That's it for Woe Nelly. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Every day is like a blank canvas. You know you can paint it any way you
want. All right, before we go, Tausch, I don't want my trip to the locker room to go as poorly as Woe Nelly did for Jesse. I will not be asking a series of questions about the Gaelic footballer.
Why not?
What's the? Well, because I already talked to him. What's the move the story ahead? Is this talking to wide receivers and the challenge of getting to where you need to be with Jordan Love, with the time they're missing? What's the next conversation now that we've spent so much time on Jordan Love's thumb injury?
No, to me, this is all about Malik Willis. And what his plan is, how that goes, and how much he's going to play. Like, that to me is going to be the next story. Until Jordan Love is back out practicing and you know he's going to be playing, I think this is all about Malik Willis.
Yeah, I agree. That'll be a story as well. I'm very curious to see if the timeline, because we know optimistic timelines, everyone's optimistic, right? It's always, oh, he'll be back for this. He'll be back for this. You just never know. And hopefully that's the case. And Jordan Love is ready for week one and he's no worse for wear, but we'll have to wait and see. And we will talk to Malik Willis after practice, which still has about 20, 30 minutes to go. All right. That's it for us today. We will be back tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.